Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Are you facing circumstances and questions that are simply overwhelming to your very soul? Well, friend, when you turn your eyes from those circumstances to Jesus Christ, the perspective changes dramatically. Stay with us next on Daily in the Word as we consider Christ with Pastor Paul Chappell. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. I don't know how this broadcast comes to you in terms of what circumstances or what questions you may be facing. Perhaps you're facing despair or sorrow. Perhaps you're facing tragedy or overwhelming situations. Perhaps you're looking at a wall of questions and you don't know how you're going to get through or how will you make it another day. Well, friend, today we want you to consider Jesus Christ, because He is not only the answer to your soul's deepest questions, He is the only one who will sustain you and strengthen you by His grace through whatever you're facing today. And so, in the next few moments and for the next few broadcasts, we will consider Christ. Be sure to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a wealth of resources at our website that will encourage you in your spiritual growth and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today, our Bibles are open to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to consider His assignment. Here's Paul Chappell.
And then they ordered for the son some french fries. He said, "Dad, I'd like to have some french fries." And so they went down and sat down at a table. And after a little while, the father kind of smelled those french fries. How many of you can smell them right now? Those french fries, they smell good, don't they? And the father looked over there and he grabbed one of those big old McDonald's french fries, dipped it in some ketchup and ate it. And right as he was about to eat it, the son said, "Hey, that's my french fry." And the dad said, "You know, he forgot something very important. I bought that french fry." And isn't it amazing how sometimes the Lord gives us so many things and then He says, "You know, I'd like a french fry." And we say, hey, that's mine. But in reality, it's all the Lord's. It's all the Lord's, you see. Every single one of us have received talents that belong to the Lord. The talents are from the Lord. The talents are given, secondly, according to ability. According to ability. Notice that in verse 15, the Bible says, according to His several ability. God gives according to our ability to return and to be wise. And you see, the master wanted a return on his investment. Essentially, God says, "Look, I'm going to give you the raw material. I want you to do something with it. I'm going to give you certain talents and abilities. It may be your children. It may be your job. It may be a promotion. It may be an inheritance. It may be some blessing." God says, "I'm giving this to you, and I'm giving it to you according to your ability to bring a return and to be wise with it." I heard of two businessmen who were talking, and one said to the other, "Who's watching your portfolio these days?" And his friend said, "Well, I'd say the tidy bowl man has a pretty good view of it right now." Sometimes we feel like that's how our investments have gone. But God says, "I want you to be wise. I want you to seek to bring a return in what I have given to you." It's from the Lord. It's according to our ability. Notice thirdly, the talents require accountability. The talents require accountability. Verse 19, notice what it says. "After a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them." Now the word "reckoneth" means to settle the accounts. There is a reckoning, and the Lord returns. And the Bible says in Matthew 18:23, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, "Moreover, it is required of servants that a man be found faithful." God says, "I want my stewards to be faithful." And so the Lord's assignment is very clear. God says, "Now, I'm calling you, my servants, not the other crowd. I'm calling calling my crowd, and he says, I'm calling you, and I'm giving to you some blessings, and my assignment to you is that you are a wise steward of these blessings that I have given to you, because after all, I'm the owner, I have the rights over them, you're the steward, and you're to be a wise steward with what I have given to you. By the way, how many of you thank God for the blessings he's given to you this morning? Showers of blessings he's poured upon every single one of us. Notice secondly now, not only the Lord's assignment, but let's see the Lord's assessment. The Lord's assessment. Notice verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2 and also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now there are 2 assessments made by the Lord. First of all, we see an assessment of wisdom, an assessment of a wise man, or really 2 men. Notice the assessment of wisdom found there in verse number 16. They traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. The word traded means they did business over a period of time and they were wise with what God gave to them. Proverbs 27:23 says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. These were men who watched their work. They were diligent. No doubt they prayed. No doubt they were careful in their planning. No doubt they kept their budget on order. No doubt they were very cautious in the way they invested this money. And these, according to the word of God, were wise men. And the assessment is an assessment of wisdom. Now, I believe there are 4 ways to multiply the talents God gives to us. I've placed those in the bulletin this morning. First of all, I believe we need to work diligently. I believe a Christian should be the best employer at the job. I mean on time. I mean with a good attitude. I mean trustworthy. We ought to work diligently. Secondly, I believe we need to steward efficiently. Study those major purchases and seek to do our best with interest rates. And we need to do our very best in stewarding efficiently. Thirdly, we need to invest wisely. I'm so proud of many of the young couples in our church right now who are looking at low interest rates and looking at the opportunity to be wise investors. Many have sought counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:16, a gracious woman retaineth honor and strong men retain riches. Learn how to invest wisely. And then fourthly, if you will multiply your talents, learn how to give generously. The Bible says in Luke 6 and verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. God has given a principle of sowing and reaping in his word. In other words, a Christian is to find himself as a believer. God wants us not to be a reservoir holding everything, but a river letting it go in order that the kingdom work might be advanced. God says, I don't want you to simply be someone that is a container. I want you to be a channel of my blessing. And so a wise steward understands that principle. You see, the fact of the matter is today, every one of us need to trade or invest wisely. William Kraft said, the only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I have given to the Lord. What a blessing it is to give cheerfully to the Lord. But notice secondly, they traded respectfully. I want you to see something in verse 20. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, notice this, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Now this guy had it right. He said, Lord, you're the one that brought this to me. Lord, you're the one that gave this to me, and I have respectfully honored what you have given to me. He did it as unto the Lord. Many of you have heard the story of missionary Jim Elliott. He was a missionary in South America to the Alca Indians. A few days before he was killed by the headhunting tribe in South America, he wrote in the flyleaf of his Bible these words, a man is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. He was a man totally yielded to the Lord, respecting and honoring the Lord in all that he did. Now, some people work to make money, and that's good. Some people make money work for them, and that's good. Some people make money work for eternity, and that is the best. Notice in your notes there, Matthew 6:19, what it says, right from the Word of God. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Notice this last verse, for where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. You see, God knows that where our heart is and where our treasure is are going to be simultaneous. It is a vital principle in the Word of God. And I believe the more passionate our faith, the more consistent our giving. The more we are in love with the Lord, the more consistent we want to express, more consistently we want to express that love. And so as the Lord comes to these stewards, He gives an assessment of wisdom. And He says to the one who had 5 talents, you did a good job. And the one who had 2 talents, you did a good job. Both of them had multiplied that investment. But notice, if you would, an assessment of foolishness. There was one man who typifies a very foolish man. And in verse 18, the Bible says, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now notice the waste of the foolish. Here is a representation of those who neglect the abilities that God has given. Those who perhaps are slothful in stewardship, never making a budget, never thinking in matters of stewardship, never being faithful to the Word of God. Proverbs 18:9 says, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. You know, the fact of the matter is that many of us in our lives, if we're honest, we probably have in this room here $2,000 in every garage of just stuff that probably we weren't as wise as we could have been when we first made the investment. Americans have been so blessed, but we are not always wise with that blessing. Reminds me of the story of William Randolph Hearst calling one of his agents to himself. And he said, I want you to come here for a moment. He said, I have a piece of art that I want to find. He says, it's a rare piece and there's no price that I will not pay. I want you to go find this piece of art. Well, the agent went around the world trying to find it. And he went to Europe and he went to places in Asia looking all over. He finally came back and he had a report to Mr. Hearst. He said, sir, I'm sorry to tell you, you can't buy that piece of art. William Randolph Hearst said, what do you mean I can't buy that piece of art? He said, I need to inform you, sir, it's in your basement. You already own it. Folks, the fact of the matter is God has been so good to us. And yet many times we waste what He has given to us. And this is a challenge to be wise stewards with all that God has given. Notice the excuses of the foolish in verse number 25. Notice what he says. He says, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. You see, instead of stewarding, he lived with a spirit of fear and he began to make excuses. I want you to turn, if you would, in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Because God does not want us making excuses like this unwise steward made. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. Notice the mind God wants us to have. It's not a spirit of fear. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, God speaks to this issue of stewardship and giving. Notice what he says here. For if there be first a willing mind. Now notice, the man who was unwise, he didn't have a willing mind. He just buried what God gave him. He says, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now look right here. God's not going to judge you. He's not going to call you into account for something you never had. But he says, for what you have been given, I am going to call you into an account. Notice verse 13. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. In other words, he said there were a lot of churches giving to the offering spoken of here in 2 Corinthians. He said, I'm not asking every person to give the same. You see, the motto is this, not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. And he said, the fact is everybody has a different gift, but everybody should do their best with what they have. And the unwise steward had not done his best with the little that he had. And so we see the Lord's assessment. 2 men were wise, 1 man was foolish. Now, as we come to this passage, we see the Lord's assignment. Here's some stewardship responsibilities. We see the Lord's assessment. But I want you to see with me finally this morning, the Lord's acknowledgement. What does the Lord finally acknowledge concerning these men? Verse number 19, notice what it says. after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Now let's read that together. Ready, begin. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Notice his faithful acknowledgement. And I want you to keep this in mind, folks. The Lord will return. Please bear that in mind. That's what this message is all about. The Lord will return. And the journey mentioned in verse 9 seems to imply the space between the first advent and the second advent. That is, from the time Jesus was born until the time he comes again at his second coming, there is a period known as the church age or the age of grace, which we are living in now. And at the end of this age, the Lord will return. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Folks, mark this down. The Lord will return. I know what the New Age teachers say. They believe in reincarnation. They believe it's just going to be some other existence in some other form. But the Bible is very clear. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There will be a returning of the Lord. There will be a reckoning with the Lord. And that's why we're here this morning, to prepare for that day when we see him. The Lord is going to return. And verse 19 says that they reckoned with him. The Lord will reckon. Now thank God, if you're saved this morning, your sins are completely under his blood. You have been forgiven. But there will be a time when we stand before the Lord and give an account of our stewardship in this life. Look in your notes there at Romans 14, 10. "Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 8. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." Understand this morning that the Lord will return and the Lord will bring a reckoning of how faithful we are with those assignments that he has given to us in this world. I heard about a man who died and went to heaven, and he was met there by St. Peter. Now that is not biblical. That's not found in the Bible, but there's very few heaven jokes that don't include St. Peter. So he was met there by St. Peter, and they began to walk down those streets of gold. Man, they walked down Hallelujah Lane, and they saw mansion after mansion after mansion. They turned right and went down Praise the Lord Street. They went by mansion after mansion. Finally, they came to the very end of the street. And as they came to the end of the street, there was a little shack at the end of the street. Broken windows and panes had fallen off. And as they looked at the shack, Peter said, "Well, here you go." The man said, "Wait a minute, what's going on?" He said, "All these mansions and I'm going to live in this." And St. Peter looked at him and said, "Well, I did the best with the money you sent us." Now, how many of you are glad it's not going to be like that? How many of you are thankful that because of God's grace, all of us will have the blessings and the equal blessings of heaven and equal access to the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven? But the fact is that every one of us will give an account for what he has given to us here on this earth. And every one of us will have the opportunity, we're going to see in just a moment, to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So his faithful acknowledgement is clear. But notice his fair acknowledgement, verse 21. "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." The Lord says, "Well done." He says, "I increase your blessing. Well done." And I want you to understand, friend, every one of us should live with this goal in mind, to hear the Lord Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know what this church is about? You know what this service is about? It's about getting all of us as Christians ready for that day of eternity. Because, my friend, this life is but a vapor. And the fact of the matter is, there is life after this life. We will see the Lord. There will be a time when we will give an account, and we want to be ready for that great day. The faithful will be rewarded. By the way, the foolish will miss their rewards. Notice what it says in verse 24. "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put the money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Someone once coined the little phrase, use it or lose it. And the Lord Jesus said, you've been unfaithful with what I gave to you. I cannot give you more. And this man lost his blessing simply because he was afraid of trusting God's plan. He had a heart filled with fear instead of a heart filled with faith. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God wants us to trust him and have confidence in him. Notice Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 13. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. You see, God says some things he gives to us, he gives in order that we might be a blessing, in order that we might be wise investors here and for eternity's sake. And the foolish man didn't capture that consequence. Now, my friend, hear me this morning. If there is no sin or no true Jesus, then we don't even need to think about the stewarding of this life. If there is no such thing as a day of reckoning before the Lord, none of this really matters. But if there will be a time when we will see the Lord Jesus Christ, then every one of us need to understand God has given us an assignment. And this assignment called life will bring about a day of accountability. If we want people to be accountable in the measly things of this world, in time out, in clocking in and clocking out, in filling out reports, then how much more so does God want us to be accountable for this life that we are living that is a gift from him? I'm saying to you this morning, every one of us have the opportunity to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that should be our desire, that we would please Jesus Christ in all that we do, and that we would receive the assignment, and that we would say, reporting to duty, Lord, I'm here to fulfill the assignment you've given to me. The children you've given, the blessings you've given, the job you've given. Lord, I want to give all of it back to you as a bondservant. I want you to be pleased with my life. Now, there might be someone here this morning, and you've heard me mention the kingdom of God and the values of eternity. Let me say this to you before we close. Please hear me very carefully. No matter of stewardship and no amount of money will ever buy your way into heaven. The fact of the matter is, you could give millions of dollars to this church and still go to hell. No one buys their way into heaven. Salvation is the gift of Almighty God. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Romans 6:23 says, The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do we believe that a Christian should give to the Lord from a heart of gratitude? Absolutely yes. But let me tell you the difference between sound Bible teaching and that which is unsound and which leads to destruction. Sound Bible teaching says this, Salvation is the gift of God, and it is available because of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. And all who will come to Jesus and ask his forgiveness and receive him as Savior will be saved. And that is the gift of God. False religion says you must earn God's favor and you must do certain things in order to appease an angry God. I want to tell you something, friend. God is not pleased with someone's measly works. He is pleased with one work, and that was the work of his Son on the cross of Calvary. That was the shedding of the blood that Jesus Christ gave. And while the book recommended by Oprah Winfrey says it's a lousy thing to cling to the old rugged cross, I want to tell you something. I'm not clinging to a piece of wood this morning, but I am clinging to the Lord Jesus Christ who died on that old rugged cross as my hope and my way of eternal life. And if you're here this morning not sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, oh, please don't misunderstand the message. Don't feel that you must do certain things in order to buy your forgiveness. Instead, receive your forgiveness today as the free gift of God already purchased for you. What a wonderful gift it is. And for those of you who know your sins are forgiven, you know Christ is your Savior, then I encourage you to report to the Lord and to report to him and receive your assignment today. God says, here's your assignment. I give you life. I give you health. I give you a family. I give you blessings. Now steward it wisely and steward it with eternity in mind, that you might hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're currently in a series entitled Consider Christ. Friend, we would invite you to consider, is Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior? If you have heard today's message and you would like to make Jesus Christ your personal Savior, to place your faith in Him, I hope you will bow your head and heart wherever you may be in the privacy of this moment and place your faith in Jesus Christ. Invite Him into your life to save you from your sin. Trust Him as your Savior and claim His gift of eternal life. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We would love to hear from you if you have made that decision as a result of Daily in the Word. We'd love to get back in touch with you and help you grow in God's grace and in that relationship. You can contact us when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find links to the current radio series as well as the podcast. You can perhaps refer a friend or subscribe to Daily in the Word through your phone or device and take it with you. Also, you'll find links to many other resources that will help you with your spiritual growth, including a Daily in the Word subscription email that will come to your email inbox every single day with an encouragement from Pastor Chappell as well as a daily scripture reading. You'll also find links to Dr. Chappell's blog at paulchappell.com. And don't forget, we're going to Alaska and you're invited. The Alaska Cruise with Dr. Paul Chappell is August 9th through 16th, 2014. 1 week of the most beautiful environment you've ever spent time in, along with some of the most wonderful people you could meet, Christian friends from all over the country, joining us August 9th through 16th with Dr. Chappell, some great teaching and preaching throughout the week, and Christian Fellowship 2014, August 9th through 16th. You can find out more information at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.